feeling that I need to speak to the church tonight. So, and I said, well, that'd be fine with me. Maybe you'll have something for me too. So, well, I'm going to let the pastor take over from here. And I just want to thank you guys for all your support and all your prayers in advance. And so we got all kinds of neat stuff out there in the back. We'll want to tell you all about it. And we got some fudge back there for sale. So if you got a sweet tooth, stop by and see us. Praise the Lord.
It's not safe. Praise the Lord. Don't you appreciate our missionaries? Brother Fox and Mitch, Ethan, if you would come. I want you guys to just stand down here in the front. I want some of these men to come lay their hands on you and pray for you. The anointing and the blessing of God on your journeys. Strength of God on you and your family as you travel. Pray for them. Pray down glory and strength and anointing on their lives, if you would, right now. All over the house, just extend your faith toward them. In the name above every name, in Jesus' name. God, mighty God. If you believe God can raise up a dynamic work there and multiply his church, give him praise. Magnify his name. Glory to God. Glory to God. I was talking to Brother Joe Parker years ago. Some students from the Marshallese Islands, which is, I think, roughly north of you guys there, they came to school in the United States and came into an apostolic church there in Washington State and went back to the Marshall Islands contaminated with the Holy Ghost. Right now, the largest church of any kind in the Marshall Islands is a Jesus name apostolic church filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that's the will of God for Fiji. I believe it's the will of God for every place where the gospel is preached. Everybody said amen. Amen. And we want to celebrate our quizzers tonight. We appreciate Sister Tina and Sister Mary, all those that are working with them. And we're going to let Sister Tina tell you about what they did yesterday at the quiz meet.
Praise the Lord. If all the quizzers and the coaches will come up. And the beginners, if you'll kind of stay down here, then the juniors and the older ones up here. Come down here, Lacey. Beginners down here. They did a great job. They're working so hard. We took four teams and we brought home four trophies. So that's exciting. And I didn't prepare them for this. I did prepare the older ones. But I want to see if any of the little ones want to quote one of their favorite scriptures for y'all. Lacey, do you want to quote a scripture? Sophie, you quote one? Quote your favorite one. Come on. You have a choice.
Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not dominion over me. Then shall I be at birth, and I shall be innocent for the great transgression.
Tell them where it's found.
Psalms 19:13. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Psalms 1:1.
Kelly, come on. Come on. 1:4. When God will not say? No. Come on, just one. Okay. Pick one.
From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Psalm chapter 61, verse 2.
For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Psalms 37, verse 10.
Alejandra, are you here? Oh, okay. All right.
Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. 27:14.
My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 73:26.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalms 27:1.
And they know hundreds more. That's hundreds, plural. Okay, we'll start with our beginners. We took two teams, and they took first and second place. Where's Caden? Where's Caden? Oh, we're missing Caden. I just realized that. Hold that for him when he gets here. Get down. Okay. And in one of the quizzes, it was very close, but Lacey got a third place in one of the quizzes. And Hadley was a participant. Sophie got two first place ribbons and one second place ribbon. Max got two first place ribbons. And Savannah got a second place ribbon. And Caden had a first place ribbon. And they picked top five scores at each tournament, and our quizzers took four of the top five spots. The fifth highest score was Savannah. The fourth highest score was Max. The second highest score was Caden. And the first highest score was Sophie.
Give Caden the trophy. And you're going to take the trophy. Do you want to quote a scripture, your favorite scripture? Can you quote one for everybody?
And let me see. Then we're going to go on to our juniors, and they took first place. And have participation for Devin and Rachel and Alejandra. We give Alejandra hers. And Danielle got three first place ribbons. Four first place ribbons. And she was the top high scorer for the day. Hold on, Michael. That's Dominique's. And our intermediate quizzers took first place undefeated. Brooke got a first and second place ribbon. Celine got a second place ribbon. Elizabeth got four first place ribbons. Woo! And the top high score for their intermediate division was Elizabeth. Woo! But the quizzers are really doing good. I appreciate all the coaches and all the parents, everybody working with them, and I appreciate the church supporting all our dinners for our fundraisers, and Brother Cliff and Sister Robin cooking for us this last time. And April 28th, we're having a spaghetti dinner. So please come support us again. But I just praise the Lord, and I'm glad what God's doing in these kids.
Planting the seed of the Word of God in the lives of children. It's an amazing and an awesome thing. We have two inductees into the National Junior Beta Club from Victory Christian School, Dawson Smith and Elizabeth Pierce. Because of outstanding character and achievement, Elizabeth Dawson. Smile and wave. Excellent to see apostolic kids doing well in every area of their lives, and appreciate the diligence and the achievement of our kids today. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for what he's doing in our kids.
Praise the Lord, church. Praise the Lord, church. How you doing tonight? God is so wonderful in this house. We serve a mighty and awesome God. I've got a few announcements here tonight, and I'm real excited about it tonight. April 19th, there's a youth rally in Coleman. You want to see the youth committee to sign up. So if you guys would wave at us, some of the youth committee. There they are. They do an excellent job. There is actually a meeting after church tonight. Parents and the students need to meet with the youth committee. I guess, where will you guys meet, Sister Laura? Right here in your corner. That works. April 19th, the Memorial Day picnic. The planning session for that is going to be at 7 p.m. Here. April 30th, registration and the first payment for PEAK is due. So you want to get that payment in if you plan on attending that that conference. There's a baby table in the foyer for Isabella Brooklyn Carr. Excited about that. And they are registered at Target and Bye Bye Baby. So you know exactly what toys Isabella is going to want if you go to those places. April 21st and 28th, we are in revival with Brother Franco Plantinelli. Plantinella? Is that right? I'm way off, huh? Platania. That's what I thought I said. So we're going to have an awesome church with that wonderful man of God. If you would stand, we're going to get ready to take up an offering. If you're a visitor in the house, we don't expect you to support this work. We are so excited that you're in the house to worship God with us here tonight. Mighty God, we love you. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your provision. God, I pray that you bless the offering of God as well as the giver. God, fill this place with your spirit in the name of Jesus. And everybody say it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus.
Do me like Jesus.
so faithful, not because I've been so good. Your loving arms protect me, and they shelter me from harm. You are Alpha and Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're my provider. You've been my best friend. And Lord, it was you that made my life complete. You are to me my everything, and that is why I sing. I love you,
because you care,
because you care for me. I couldn't imagine
if you were in bed.
Oh, if you
Jesus is
is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his holy name, and that's the reason why. The sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his holy name, and that's the reason why I love him so, 'cause Jesus, you have the sweetest name.
Mighty God, we praise you, we magnify you, we worship you, lift you up, and thank you, Lord. Glory to God, glory to God. Isn't God good? Praise God. Does anybody here believe that there's more to God than what you've seen already? And that you're bound to see more? Anybody believe that the best is yet to come and you're experiencing God? Hallelujah. We give honor. We appreciate everything that's gone before. I know, have no doubt that we stand on the shoulders of prayers that have been prayed for ages, prayers that have been prayed in this city, and elders that we've never met that have lifted up prayers of travail and broke the fissure of the rock in this area and loosed the Spirit of God. I'll just tell you, I give honor to all that has gone before us, but I really do believe the best is yet to come. I really do believe the greatest prayers, the greatest sermons, the greatest revivals. No, you're not hearing this at all, but I really do believe the greatest moves of God are yet to come. Praise God. We're going to read tonight in Galatians chapter 1. And again, we're so glad to have the Fox family with us. And our prayers are with you on your way. Galatians chapter 1, we're just beginning in the book of Galatians, making our way through the New Testament. And tonight, we'll talk a little bit about hidden things. Galatians 1:11. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none save James, the Lord's brother. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, give him uproarious praise and thanks for his word tonight. God, we thank you for your word. We praise you for the privilege of handling your word and knowing you and hearing you. Praise God. Praise God. And so here we are, and we're beyond the initial, the inaugural pulse of the church in Jerusalem. And now there is persecution, and the persecution is intense in Jerusalem. And this man, Paul, makes his way to Damascus with letters in his hand to lock up and to persecute and perhaps slay the church of the living God. And on his way, he meets Jesus, and he knows it's God. And on his back, in a blinding light, he cries out, "Who art thou, Lord?" He's a one God Jew, and that means, who are you, God of Abraham? Who are you, Creator God? And the voice behind the light said, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." He said, "I'm the one you're trying to hurt. It's my people you're laying your hands against." And in that moment, Saul of Tarsus becomes Paul the Apostle. And he goes down to Damascus, and he's blind because of the searing light of the vision that he's had. And God has spoken to a brother by the name of Ananias, and reluctantly Ananias goes and ministers to Paul, lays his hand on him. He receives his sight. He receives the Holy Ghost. And in just a moment's time, immediately, the scripture says, he began to preach Christ. Now, here we get a little addition to his testimony. And we find out that for 3 years, he didn't consult with the church. He went to the wilderness of Arabia and then back to Damascus. And here in his testimony, he said, "I didn't learn this from a man, but I was taught directly by the Lord Jesus himself." And we take Paul at his word. And the church didn't know who he was. And they didn't know there would be another apostle. And they surely didn't think that it would be somebody who hated and was trying to destroy the church. But under the radar and out of the sight of everybody, Jesus became the tutor of who was going to write most of the New Testament and give us most of what we know in New Testament scripture. There was something God had moving, some say, in his left hand. But it was a hidden move, and there was a hidden apostle. And there was something that Peter didn't know about and James didn't know about. And a guy walked in one day, and Paul said, "The church didn't know me. They just knew that I was the one that had persecuted the church of the living God. And he walks in and spends 15 days with Peter. And he does it to corroborate and to make sure they know the same things and they're on the same page, and to find out about the doctrinal position of the already established church. And Peter is the beginning of what we see in the book of Acts. And James, the brother of the Lord, is there. And the apostles are there. And the church is already rolling and it's already cranking. And here comes one walking up out of the desert of Arabia and out of the back streets of Damascus. And now he's not accepted of the Jews anymore. And he's unknown and unaccepted by the church. He's an unknown quantity to all of them. But when he knocks on Peter's door, he's got credentials that have been given him by the Lord God himself, and who can speak against it? He is an apostle hidden by God for a moment of God's choosing. Somebody say praise the Lord. And I just want to tell you tonight that there are things yet hidden that you think you know your situation, but I've come to tell you tonight there are some things hidden that God knows about, that God has his left hand on. You don't see all the possibilities. You don't understand even what questions to ask. I want you to hear and understand tonight. God knows all about it, but his ways are above our ways, like the heavens are above the earth. And God's got something hidden for you. And God's got something hidden for this day. And God has something hidden for this church. My God, if you're in need, you ought to just shout to God right now. There's more at work than what you can see. There's more moving here right now than what you know or what you have seen. My God. And everybody that needs more, shout. And everybody that wants more, shout. And everybody that believes God has more, shout. More righteousness, more godliness, more holiness, more revival, more resource, more anointing, more victory. Well, praise God. He hid the church all through the Old Testament. Paul said it was hidden. He said if the princes of this world would have known who he was and what he was doing, they never would have killed him. They never would have crucified the Lord of glory. But God just hid it. He blinded some. He hid it from others. But what God hides, he never hides it very deeply, because he's seeking for seekers. He's wanting somebody to want. He desires someone with desire. He buries it a little bit so the casual won't come upon it. It's interesting to me how God does that. Gary Ellis stood up in the middle of a denominational church service on a Sunday morning. He had never lived for God, and so he came to church on that Sunday morning, and he stood up in the middle of the man's preaching and said, "My name's Gary Ellis, and I'd like to be saved." And so he disrupted everything. So they brought him down to the front. A couple of days later, he was in a charismatic prayer meeting, had his face in the back of a chair. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he began to speak in other tongues. The next week, he shipped out to Germany. He and Sister Ellis, freshly filled with the Holy Ghost, no pastor, no apostolic contact at all, no knowledge of an apostolic truth. They get in, they get stationed, they get situated in their apartment there, and one of the biggest snowstorms of the century hits Germany. Everybody's socked in. They can't get out. Couple of weeks, they're just locked up tight. So they open the book and they start pursuing the kingdom of God, freshly filled with the Holy Ghost. And God begins to teach him. And without any instruction from anybody, he finds the oneness of God. He finds that Jesus is the mighty God in Christ. He finds Jesus' name baptism. He finds the gospel as you know it and appreciate it. He finds holiness. And his wife begins to clean out her closet. And then he says, I don't know about this. This looks like it's going to be expensive. This Holy Ghost experience. He came back from Germany to Clarksville, Tennessee, and started a church and did not know that there were other churches like that anywhere. Didn't know, didn't have a pastor, didn't have an organization, didn't have a connection. And not only did he not know the church did not know him. And he was hidden. And he was raised up by God. And he was raised up without a bulletin going through the organization. He was raised up without any missive coming down from St. Louis or from Washington, D.C. or from any other head of church or state. But God arbitrarily and sovereignly raised him up. And for all intents and purposes, he was hidden from the view of everyone until he walked out and began to preach the gospel. It's a beautiful thing what God did with the Dead Sea Scrolls. There are so many people that say, well, that Bible's been around so long and it's been through so many hands and it's been translated so many times. Whenever they tell you that, you always ask them, how many times has it been translated? Because they don't know. They're just talking. There's just talking points, blah, 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 blah. They don't have the slightest idea how many times. But ask them anyway. But they say it cannot be factual and cannot be accurate because you can't get a group of 10 people and tell a story and have it go around to all of them and come out the same way it started. Impossible. And I love that because it is impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Praise God that it's not contaminated and that it's not changed and that it's not altered. But while this one was passing from the hands of the apostles and out of Jerusalem and after the destruction of Jerusalem into Antioch and then out of Antioch all up through the Mediterranean basin and all over that area around Asia Minor, the Old Testament scriptures already being in force in the time of Jesus. When Jesus opened up the scroll in the synagogue and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He was reading out of the Greek Old Testament that was already codified and established. And what we got after that from the apostles were the letters to the churches in Luke's book of Acts and the gospel. And so we have all of that compiled in that first century church and in the second century church. And then it goes off with the formation of the Roman Catholic Church, and it moves in those areas, and it moves in the Protestant Reformation 1,500 years later. And here you are in 2013, and it's sitting right there. But all the while this one was moving through the channels of time and the history of men, He had placed another one in a cave in Quan Rum. He had placed another one in the vicinity of the Dead Sea. And it was just sitting there and nobody was touching it. And nobody knew where it was until in 1948, a kid throwing rocks, tending goats, threw a rock up in a cave and he heard something break. And he went up in the cave and he peered inside and he found these great earthen vessels, some collapsed with time and some perfectly sealed. And what he had found was the treasure trove we understand and recognize as the Dead Sea Scrolls. And your Isaiah in your Bible tonight reads exactly like the Isaiah from the Dead Sea Scrolls, one through the hands of men and one through the channels of history and time and change, and one sitting there in a rocky fortress untouched by man. And God said, you're right, it's impossible. Let me show you a miracle in my word. Somebody say praise the Lord. And God is a God that hides things. And God is a God that hides things. But he doesn't hide things that are useless. He doesn't hide things that are without value. He hides things that are powerful, potent, things that are miraculous, things that have power for today. And he has them ready for a certain time, ready for a certain season, ready for a certain people, ready for a moment in time when he wants to pull the plug on something. I'm come to tell you tonight, God has something hidden for you. I love what we see. I love what he's shown. I love what we've experienced. I love what we know. I love the glory of God. I love the praise and worship. I love the touch of God in prayer. I love the fellowship of God's people. I love being a part of an apostolic church. But I'll tell you, there's something we haven't seen yet. God's about to open it up. God's got something hidden for you. He's got an apostle out there that nobody knows about yet. He's got a preacher out there that nobody knows about yet. He's got a miracle sitting there, hidden from view. Praise God. Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. God likes to hide powerful and precious things. But it's the honor of kings to search out a matter. God hides things, but kings search out a matter. God, I feel Holy Ghost in this house tonight. God hides things, but men seek after God. God covers things, but hungry men and women, they seek after God because they don't ever say, well, bless God, I've been a part of this for 400 years and I've about seen it all. I know about it all. Yeah, there is nothing new under the sun. Ah, God's got something hidden. Oh, for this church, for this day, for this city, for your ministry, for this revival, for this season. He's got something hidden, and all he needs is a seeker. All he needs is someone with desire. All he needs is somebody hungry enough to say, I know it's in here somewhere. I know God's got something. Somebody that'll get down in the depth of prayer and say, I know there's a level I've never been to. Somebody that'll rise up in worship and say, I know there's some place I've never been in worship, but I want to go there. Some young man that'll open up the Word of God and say, I know I haven't seen it all. I know there's power in this. Hidden power in this that I've never seen. Hidden, disclosed, perhaps hidden again for a new generation, for a new day. The kingdom of God requires seekers, not attendees, not wanters, not needers, seekers. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. If I could effectively communicate that to the hearts of men and women, because you're consumed with so many things, but the admonition is so straightforward and powerful. It's so hidden in plain sight. I know you got a problem. Seek the kingdom. I know you've got a need. Seek the kingdom. I know you need revival. Seek first the kingdom of God. God's going to take care of it all. Well, Brother Sutton, these are my problems. Pray and read your Bible. He's like a broken record. That's all he ever says. That's all there is to say. What you need is hidden down there in that prayer chamber somewhere. What you need is hidden in the Word of God for you. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. There's a time constraint. It's not guaranteed that it'll always be available to you. There's a season. There's a moving. While he may be found. Isaiah 34:16, seek you out the book of the Lord. Seek out the book of the Lord. I don't want to give you a hard time. I don't want to be condemning, and I don't want to be negative, and I don't want to say things that are. But people know a lot of stuff. People know a lot of useless stuff. There's so much minutiae. My God, how many times are you on that Facebook site? How many times are you checking that telephone? How many times are you involved in tech communication at some level? There is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just saying there's no answer on Facebook. There's no truth in those things. There's no revival in those things. But if I'll begin to dig and mine into that powerful verbiage of God, there's a miracle there. There's an answer there. There's deliverance there. There's an anointing there. There's revival in there. It's not that I want to condemn something that you're doing. It's that I want you to be aware of something far better. God hides things. He's looking for seekers. David said, "Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee." Paul said, "Seek those things that are above." And Jesus said, "Seek and you shall find." God's looking for seekers. God's looking for hungry people. Jeremiah 29:13, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart." God knows when you're putting in time in prayer. Blah, 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 blah. God knows when you're fooling around with it. And God knows when you're hungry for it. God, speak to me. I know you've shaped the nations. I know you've set kings up and taken them down, God. I know that you've hung the stars on the power of your word. And here I have your word in my hand, oh God. God, don't let me be casual or let me seek you in this book. God, speak to me by your book. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Let's just love him. Let's love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, hallelujah. God, mighty God, worthy God, holy God. We seek your face, oh God. We look to you, oh God. In this house tonight, God, we stand in need of you. We call on your name, oh God. God, we need you in our lives. We need you in our homes. We need you in this church. God, everything that we do, we need your hand upon it. said, you seek me with your whole heart, then you'll find me. Then you'll find me. When God gives Daniel the answer to Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and nobody in the kingdom had that, it was hidden, and God breathed it into a man's life. Daniel, in a wave of relief, responded to God, said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Anything you need, God has it. Anything you need, God has it. Anything you need, God has it. Does anybody believe that in the house tonight? When Daniel went and stood before Nebuchadnezzar the king, he answered in the presence of the king. The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. The need in our day today, in this culture and in this society and in our quickly collapsing country and culture, the need here, the answer here is not in social services, and it's not in government programs, and it's not in touching base with a politician, and it's not in the NRA, and it's not in planning for disaster, and it's in the hand of a God that has everything in his hand. It's in revival. It's in a move of God. It's in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. My God, we are perfectly positioned. A culture, a world on the brink of collapse is a church on the brink of revival. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days, thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed. Isaiah said in 45 and 15, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior. Nobody in Israel knew where that baby was going to be born. But those wise men, those magi had been traveling. They had been following something that was emblazoned in plain sight. It was in the books of Israel that God had given them. It was marked in the heavens, and they could not see it. It was hidden from their sight. And these men came from Chaldea and brought gifts to worship a king that was hidden from everybody in Israel. Wise men found something precious that was hidden in plain sight, even though it was written in the heavens. Praise God. I want you to know there's something. It's a step away from you right now. It's a step away from you right now. And if we had the vision of God in this place right now, we could see it, we could embrace it as graphically as a star led those wise men to the baby Jesus. It's in your presence right now. Matthew 13, another parable he spake to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man who found a pearl of great price. It was hidden from the sight of everyone but him. Treasure hid in a field. Pearl hid in an oyster. Seed hidden in the earth. The disciples said, well, why do you teach them in parables? He answers them in Matthew 13. And he tells you that it boils down to desire. Matthew 13, beginning in 11. He answered, said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Everyone say it is given. To some it is given. To others it is withheld. It is the function of desire in the presence of God that causes God to release whatever it is that he has for you. desire in the presence of God. And the difference between the two groups that are spoken of in this parable is the difference of desire. Is anybody hungry for revival? Hungry for more of God? Hungry for a greater touch, a greater move, a greater season of anointing? Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. When your desire wanes, you lose even that you have gained in the kingdom of God. We can see it in organizations. We can see it in families. We can see it in individuals. Desire is what motivates and opens up the hand of God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not. It's hidden from them. Lindsay, come help me. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they've closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them. We live in a day of prophetic fulfillment that ages of apostolics have longed to see. They have longed to see Israel back in the land. They knew it was coming. But the timeline and the prophecy hid it from them. There's something very important moving in the house tonight. When Israel crosses the spiritual dynamic and they go from Kadesh Barnea, the Jordan splits. There's a spiritual dynamic that opens when you're coming out of sin. That's how you make your escape. Did anybody feel that? It was like a door opened and a season of time opened, and you had a moment for escape and you made your way. The Red Sea is a spiritual dynamic that opens up. That wasn't just water they were walking through. They were walking out of the power of sin and bondage and oppression in their lives. And God made that possible by a breach in the spirit. When they walked across at Jordan, they were having the same type of spiritual dynamic. They walked across on dry land. The water stacked up. It was flood time for the Jordan. And God said, from where the priest's feet are, they stood first in the river and the waters backed up, and then all of Israel crossed over. God told Joshua, I want you to take 12 stones, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and I want you to set them up as a memorial in Gilgal. Memorials in the kingdom of God are designed so that when your children come along, they say, what meaneth these stones? And you say, I once was lost in sin. I was a slave in Egypt. But God came and he saw about us. And miracle after miracle after miracle. And we built this memorial so that it would be a testimony to the goodness and mercy and the favor of God. But before that water closed up and the priest made their way out of that river, he said, I want you to take 12 more, and I want you to build a memorial in the riverbed. And we use that and we talk about visible and invisible memorials, visible and hidden memorials. And it's very practical for every visible victory, there's a hidden victory. For every victory in revival, somebody's had a victory in a prayer closet. For every anointing that comes down and every giftedness that breaks forth, there's been a hidden victory. They don't come cheap. They don't come without hunger and desire and application. So these stones in the riverbed are powerful for us in that regard. They teach us that if I'm going to have a memorial where people can see it, a monument to God for what he's done in my life, I'm going to have a hidden memorial that's buried under the waters of the Spirit, down in the depth of a spiritual dynamic, a hidden memorial. If you see anointing in somebody's life, there's a memorial under the waters. But I don't think he just had them build that 12-stone memorial in that river just for that. But the one that was up on the land at Gilgal was because somebody was going to come along and they were going to see it. And they were going to say, what meaneth these stones? I believe God was preparing for another day when another Joshua and another believing generation who had left all of the drag of unbelief dead in the wilderness and was walking into a new day of promise would step into that river. And they would know somebody's been here before us. Look at this. We're seeing this miraculous move of God. We're seeing this awesome moving of the Spirit of God. And look here in the river. 12 stones. A memorial. Somebody's walked in this before. In the scripture, there is the anticipation. Somebody else is coming. Somebody else is hungry. Somebody else is moving into revival and promise. Somebody else is going to walk into the miraculous of God. And when they do, they're going to see the marker left by those that have walked through that place before. The looming question in the house tonight, is anybody hungry? Is anybody needy? Does anybody have desire? Would you like to see more? Would you like to see God do what God does? Would you like to let God be God? He's wrestling with Jacob. He's wrestling with Jacob and he says, Jacob, let me go. Let me be God, Jacob. There's some things you don't see. There's some things that are hidden from you. If you let me go, I'll unleash in your life. Don't come in condemnation. Come in desire. I don't even care if you repent tonight. He knows about your sin. Just come seeking him. Show me your power. Come on, there's gifts breaking loose in this altar right now. God's laying his hand on somebody right now. All he needs is a hungry heart. All he needs is a willing spirit. I don't want to mess with you tonight, but I want you to stand on your feet. You are his child. You belong to him. You are his church. Lift your face to him. He's your father. Lift up your face. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. I need you. I seek you. I look to you. I cry unto you. Hey.